This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. Nick, good afternoon from London and good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning. Good to be back with you.
Now, I've been watching over the last few hours the price of oil. It's been an interesting game, watching it change minute by minute, hour by hour, because it really has jumped around, hasn't it? Quite a bit. Very, very turbulent indeed, depending on what is coming out of the US administration or indeed from the Iranians as well, because this is very much down to the negotiations or lack of negotiations in terms of the conflict between Iran and the USA. We did see a big fall, a steep fall, the oil price plummeting earlier on today, something like 13%. It's come up a bit since then. It's something where we're about halfway between 13% down and zero. And it's so sensitive, isn't it, this oil price, depending on what's going on?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, right? It is very, very jumpy, to say the least. As you pointed out, down 13% at one point in the overnight session for my U.S. friends. And of course, when we look at the price now, it is now down just 6%, which is still down, but it is significantly different than 13%. So really, from the lows, another way of saying it is that it's rallied 8%, 9% from those lows of the day. And so these are huge moves, very, very large one-day swings in the price of oil. And actually, the largest one-day swing, Johnny, that we've had since the beginning of April. So, you know, oil has been mostly kind of quiet, and then now you're seeing a very large one-day move down, then back up here. And to add a little bit of context as to what's going on, the U.S. and Iran are closing in on a one-page memo to end the war. That was put out by Axios 4 or 5 hours ago at the time of recording this. However, in more recent updates, and part of the reason I would say is why you're seeing a large bounce in the price of oil, is that Iran is discussing the end of war, but clarifies that they're not discussing the nuclear issue, which, of course, draws a lot of criticism or a lot of skepticism to just how possible a end of the war circumstance is if they're abandoning conversations on the Iranian side of the nuclear talks. Of course, that's kind of the main kind of point of contention in all of this to begin with. The reason the Strait of Hormuz closure and blockades and all that sort of thing is really at the source of it, if you're listening to the White House's commentary on it, the concerns over nuclear weapons in Iran, and kind of reiterating that Iran, in the eyes of the West, is not permitted to have those sorts of weapons, and the unwillingness from the Iranian side to lay out a transparent plan on how they plan to cease that operation is what is really the contention point. So, I think that the skepticism to some degree is valid in the sense that oil price is bouncing back because people are thinking, okay, well, how are you going to get an end to the war if there is a staunch, you know, not moving on the whole point of the war beginning in the first place, at least in the eyes of most, you know, market pundits.
And of course, overnight, Nick, we heard U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio say that the offensive stage of the Iran war is, in his words, over. This is Operation Epic Fury. He said it had been concluded. Having said that, we are still seeing attacks on the UAE and other military interruptions as well. So it's difficult to know what markets really should take from these comments from either Rubio or Trump or anyone else?
It's possible, too, if we pick up some context clues from another headline that went out, which was Trump saying to Besant to release economic fury. If we kind of tie what you just said there, Johnny, to that headline as well, it kind of seems like the White House is very much not wanting a further escalation in military conflict. Because again, that may be something where the discussion, I'm just speculating here, maybe the closed door conversation was, okay, well, we're not going to do anything militarily unless absolutely necessary, but let's do everything that we can on the economic pressure side to, you know, strangle this to a point that the negotiations come out more rapidly. Maybe that is the game plan. I think it is the game plan in the eyes of, you know, most people who are watching and commenting on the subject. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all plays out. And to your point, we are still seeing sort of these ricochets in regards to the UAE. We are still seeing tensions high between Israel and Lebanon, the Hezbollah. So you have all this different stuff spinning at the same time. And it's very hard to draw the conclusion that everything is going to end peacefully in quick succession. And there's also another layer to this, which is even if we get the end of the war, how far does oil actually move lower? There's been substantial damage to the region. There's a substantial, you know, carryover tension effect that, you know, we've seen ceasefires and pieces or peace treaties kind of fall to the wayside very quickly if things don't, you know, come together. Even during our ceasefire here, we have seen numerous accusations from both sides accusing the other of breaking the terms of the ceasefire. So things are very tense. I think that's why you're still seeing, despite these headlines, I mean, let's just take it for face value. The White House is saying the war might be over, but then you have back and forth messaging and on both sides. And so oil prices are still sitting at near their, you know, their highs. We're still at $96, $97 a barrel. That has not meaningfully come down.
And all the while, the global economy is in relatively dire straits, isn't it? When you look at the inflation numbers predicted over the next few weeks and months and the effect that it's going to have on interest rates on both sides of the Atlantic, there is much to fear, even if, as you said, we do have an agreement sooner rather than later. The repercussions are there for months, if not years, to come. And we've seen some figures today, Nick. We've had the latest ADP numbers, these private jobs figures, which always make interesting reading. What do they tell us?
Yes. So the private payrolls numbers this morning came out at 109,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy versus the forecasted 118,000. No major revisions to the prior number outside of this one. Basically, what this is kind of showing us is just a little bit of softness in the hiring data. Of course, we did have a very strong unemployment claims data last week, and JOLTS job openings came in pretty much in line with expectations. So the jobs market seems to be holding up okay. The ADP number was a little soft this morning, but so far seemingly okay. And I think that's also where you tie in to what you just said about inflation forecasts going up. Meanwhile, jobs data remaining relatively resilient here in the U.S., that kind of paints a picture where interest rates are probably going to stay on hold for a while. I think that's a fair kind of assumption there. It's like, okay, if you have the jobs data coming in okay, and inflation expectations staying elevated despite what happens in the Middle East in the short term, that combination makes for a tricky subject in regards to interest rates in the U.S. We're also seeing that story due to this energy situation affect all central banks. To your point about the global lens, the Bank of England, the ECB, the U.S., these central banks, the RBA, these central banks have moved decisively more hawkish in recent months because of this geopolitical tension that is still ongoing. I mean, remember, we still have the Ukraine-Russia stuff. We have the Middle East stuff. This at any point, you know, the longer it goes on with this question of you know, whether or not things will de-escalate further and sustainably so, as long as that remains a tense subject, it will be a tricky one for central banks to really get much more dovish than they are.
Nick, we'll speak again on Friday. Thanks for your efforts today.
Thanks, Johnny. See you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by OM.